All right. Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see all your smiling faces. And this is a little bit of our different children's lesson format than normal because everybody's all spread out. But we can still, I believe, enjoy it and learn. Why don't we sing a song to start with? Do you all know J-O-Y? The song J-O-Y? Let's all sing it, and the adults can help too because everybody's spread out. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely mean Jesus first and yourself last and others in between. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely mean Jesus first and yourself last and others in between. All right, so today I want to talk to you about something. This something is an attitude that we can have. It's a way that we have, it's an attitude that we have toward others. It has to do with the way we talk to them, we act to them. It's something that we have for other people just because of who they are. Does anybody want to guess what we want to talk about? If you have an answer, just raise your hand. We'll try and get it. Being kind, it's kind of related, but it's not quite what I was thinking of. Love, it kind of comes into play too. There's a specific word I was thinking of.
Respect.
Respect, you got it. That is exactly what I have. Respect is an attitude. Now, there's good attitudes and there's bad attitudes, right? Is respect a good attitude? Raise your hand. You think respect is a good attitude? It's actually, it's a very necessary attitude, not just for children, but for adults also. Respect is something that everyone needs, especially children. Like I said, everyone needs it. There's another word that, in the Bible that was used a lot like respect. It means pretty much the same thing. Anyone want to guess what that is? Honor, that's right. In the Bible, it's often you often hear the word honor used for respect. So who should we respect? If you have answers, go ahead. Everybody. That's right. We are supposed to respect everybody. I'm going to just make a list here of people we should respect. So there's a verse in the Bible that says in 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now there's two honors in there, but one of them is all men. He said honor everybody, so we're going to put all men. All right, so honor all men. Now there was another one in that verse that it said to honor. Anybody have that one?
Parents.
That wasn't in that verse, but that's another one that I have. Our parents. We're supposed to honor our parents. There was one in the verse that we missed. Do you have it? I'll read the verse again. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Who did we miss? Back here. Which one did we miss? The king! That's right. We'll put government leaders there. We don't have kings today, but we have presidents, and we have governors, and we have policemen. We'll put government leaders. All right. Any other people we're supposed to respect? Police, yep. I think we'll put that under government leaders. Here's another one for you. This is one of the Ten Commandments. And he said this already. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then there's another verse that might give you a clue for another one that should go here. This is in Leviticus 19:32. It says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. So which one should we put down from that? Honor? Who should we honor? In the back. Older people. That's exactly right. Older people. Anyone who is our elder, but especially older people. All right. Another one I have is maybe church leaders. Our church leaders are supposed to be someone that we give special honor to. All right. There could be more there, but I think we'll that's what I had, so we'll leave it at that. Now, what's the opposite of respect? Being mean. It goes along with it. Disrespect. That's right. Disrespect or dishonor. Now, there's a story in the Bible of some children that I think you know the story pretty well. They were very disrespectful. And I'll read it just to show you how serious this is. It's the story of Elisha and the children who mocked him. And they went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. Now that seems really awful. But the children were mocking, right? And that was very disrespectful. And especially, who was Elisha? Think of who Elisha was, and why that made it such a serious thing for them to disrespect him. Who was Elisha that made it such a serious thing for them to disrespect him? Go ahead here. He was a prophet. Was that what you had? He was a prophet. He was a man of God. And we talked about respecting church leaders. So that made it very, very important for them, or why they should have respected him and they didn't. Was Elisha older than them? Or an older person? He was older, so they should have respected him on that account too. So we see that it's very serious. All right, now, respect takes a lot of very practical forms, and children can practice respect every day. So I have a few made-up examples, and I'm just going to read them for you, and we'll talk about each one a little bit. Derek was walking across the church parking lot, headed for the door. Grandma Susan was also walking across the church parking lot. They were going to get to the door about the same time. Derek started walking faster. He knew that he could get there first. He was in a hurry because his friends were waiting for him inside. He beat her to the door and quickly went in, shutting the door right in Grandma Susan's face. Was Derek showing respect? Was Derek showing disrespect? Raise your hand. So what should he have done? Somebody have an answer? What should Derek have done?
Held the door.
Held the door, right. He could easily see that he could have just waited a little bit, been a little more patient, and held the door. That's a very practical way that you can show respect, especially for older people. Hold the door for them. I'm going to make another list of ways to show respect. And these are just practical ways, so we're going to put hold the door. All right. I have another one. Anne was shopping with her mom. They needed lots of groceries, and the cart was full. When they got home, Anne really wanted to go ride the new bike she had just gotten. But first, she stayed and helped mom carry all the bags of groceries into the house and put them all away. Was Anne being respectful? She was. That's a way to show respect. What would you call that way of showing respect? Guesses? Ideas? What would you call it?
Being helpful.
Being helpful. That's exactly what I have. Being helpful. It's a great way to show respect. All right. I have another one. Company was coming for supper. Brian and Joy were excited about it until they heard who it was. It was the pastor and his wife. They were older, and their children were all grown, so there was no one Brian and Joy's age. When they arrived, Joy ran off to her bedroom to play with her dolls. Brian stayed with Mom and Dad and said hello and shook hands with the pastor and his wife. When it was time for supper, Mom called Joy from the bedroom, and they all sat at the table. Joy just stared at the company. She whispered to Brian, "The pastor has big glasses. Doesn't he look funny?" When they were done eating, Joy just ran off to play again. Brian asked Dad nicely if he could be excused, and he thanked Mom for the supper. Which of them is being respectful? Go ahead. Brian, that's correct. Brian's being respectful. Joy is being disrespectful. So what would we put for the way Brian was being respectful? Ideas. Being kind. That's one of them that I have. I have three. I have being, he was friendly, he was kind, and he was thankful. So I'm going to put friendly, kind, and thankful. All right. I have one more. It was Saturday, and Dad asked Anthony to organize the bikes. The shed was a mess. There were bikes just jumbled in, and there were garden tools and other random stuff all over the floor. He really wanted to just do it as quickly as possible, but instead he parked all the bikes neatly in a row. He hung all the tools on their hooks and put everything neatly in its place. He even swept the floor. Was he showing respect? He was. What kind of respect was he showing? Someone? Doing the job right. I have obeying and doing more than he was asked. That's a great way to show respect for your parents and anyone who gives you a job to do. All right. Are there other ways that you can think of, practical ways that we can show respect each and every day? I'm sure there's lots and lots if we would stop and think about it for a long time. You have any more?
Help do the clothes.
Help do the clothes. Like laundry, is that what you're thinking? Sure, help with the laundry. That's a great way to show respect. All right, well, we could go on for a long time, but I think you all get the point. Do you have one? Sing for people. That's a great way to show respect. Sing in a nursing home. And one of the reasons that it's so important to show respect to older people is because older people like children. So when children show respect to an older person, it makes them feel very special. At least most older people like children. Anyway, I think we get the idea. Maybe being respectful doesn't always seem like it's fun, but it is something that God has promised to bless each one of us when we're respectful. We will be more liked by the people around us. Everybody likes to be around respectful people. Really, nobody likes to be around a disrespectful person. So it has a blessing in that. But we also have God's specific promise to bless those who are respectful. And in the I think it's the fifth commandment, where it talks about honoring thy father and thy mother, it says that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So that's all I have for you children this morning. I hope it's something that we can all learn to be respectful. Thank you.
Good morning, all of you. It's good to see you here. So we have a few minutes to spend together here this morning, and God's been laying a lesson on my heart for you children that I think is probably one of the most important lessons you can ever learn in life. And we only have 15 minutes or so to do it, so you're going to have to really pay attention, all right? If you learn this lesson this morning well, and you learn to live by it in your lives, it's going to help you solve, I think, any problem that you ever face. It's not going to make life easy for you always, but it will help you know what to do and will help you know how to live. So how many of you would like a lesson like that? All right, good. So you pay attention really close this morning. Now, I'm not, in order to not waste time, I'm going to just simply tell you exactly what my lesson is. And the first thing we want to do is learn a new song. So we have this verse that comes straight out of Galatians. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. How many of you have that verse memorized? No? Okay, well, I hope you do after we're done this morning. And I want to teach you a song that comes right off of these verses. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so sometimes when we learn a song with words, it helps us to remember those words, okay? So I asked my two daughters, who don't usually come to children's lesson, and I think there's a couple others of you here that are volunteering this morning too, and I appreciate that, to come because we want to learn this song. We're going to have to sing it probably, four or five times. So we'll sing through it once, and then as you children, as you hear it, I want you to try and help on the second, third, fourth, fifth times, okay? Are you ready? And it follows these words exactly, so you can just sing these words, okay? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's sing that again. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, we'll stop there for now. But this principle is so very important for you children. And I have a couple of things that I want to illustrate, and I want you to also understand the connection that God has for us in our lives with the sowing that we do and the reaping that we can do. Okay? So, how many of you have helped in the garden this year? All right, good. Almost all of you. So, our garden is just coming up, and things are really starting to grow. And so I brought some things along this morning. I actually raided my wife's garden, and she allowed me to do that. I will probably put some of these things back. So I want you children to tell me what some of these things are. See if you know what these plants are. Does anybody know what that plant is? What is it? Yep, a tomato plant. You're exactly right. That is a tomato plant. And she planted most of this stuff just a little bit ago. Who knows what that plant is? A potato. That's right. You children have helped in the garden. Now this one is tiny. Who knows what that plant is? A bean. You're right. That's a bean plant. And just probably a week or so ago, that was just a tiny seed. Who knows what this one is? Back there. Lettuce? Well, it looks a little like lettuce. It does. Almost brought some lettuce along. But this one's not lettuce. This one's a little trickier. There's a couple things that this one could look like. Any other ideas? What is it? Radishes? No, not a radish. We might eat some for lunch today. Any other ideas? Yes? You're right. That's a cabbage plant. That's what that is. So if we have any coleslaw for lunch today, it's going to have cabbage in it. All right. So, and I brought along the fruit, too, of each one so that you could see and tell what it is. I don't have the seeds, but there is the cabbage fruit, right? And that's half of one. They would be a whole ball that size. So in a few more weeks, this cabbage plant is going to produce a ball of cabbage like that. Probably won't be that color. And you all know what the beans produce, right? How many of you like these? All right, good. I'm glad to see that. But in about 3 or 4 weeks, this little plant's going to grow up, get all bushy, it'll get some flowers, and then these beans will start to show up on it. Now, they won't be cut up quite like this. They're going to be about that long. How many of you helped do these beans? All right, so you know what they look like. But that little bean plant is going to produce more beans like that. And you all know what this is, right? Potato. That's right. So it goes with the potato plant. And you know, the interesting thing about these potatoes is, to plant potatoes, you cut up a potato and put a piece of it in the ground. In fact, when I dug this plant up, that thing's looking pretty big and bushy, but there's actually still a partial potato underneath that thing that hasn't fully decomposed yet. It's growing roots and it's putting the plant up, but that potato started from a piece of another potato. And you know what this is, right? Tomato. That's right. That's a little tomato. I'm not sure what kind of tomato plant that is, if it produces big tomatoes or little tomatoes. But, so, we have all these different plants, and all of them have their fruit that they produce, right? Interesting, in light of the song we sang in this verse. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, I have a couple more plants. And these are probably going to be trickier. I want to see who knows what this plant is. You're going to have to look a little closer. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, we got one. Hold on. I want everybody to look at it. You know too? All right, good. Do you want to touch it? Do you want to touch it? They don't want to touch this. So what is it? Yes, this is poison ivy. You notice I'm holding this very careful. I don't want to touch it either. How many of you have ever gotten poison ivy? Yes. Well, you should really know this is what it looks like. Anytime you see these three leaves, a plant with these three leaves like that, stay away. It's dangerous. It will bother you. There's a couple different kinds of ivy that can be like this, but that is a young poison ivy plant. I had to look for a while to find it around our place because I kill every one of those I can find. And then I found something else, and I had to look for a long time for this, and this one is very, very sad. It did not like being dug up and transplanted. But what is that? What is it? That's a thistle. And if you want to come pull it out, why? They prick you. That's right. Thistles are not nice. And I don't have the seeds to go with a thistle. And incidentally, the poison ivy mostly spreads from roots in the ground. It's got roots, and when I dug this one up, it was this little plant sticking up here, but it had a root that went way out here and a root that went way out here, and they just go along under the surface, and then they'll stick another poison ivy plant up, so it's terrible hard to get rid of them. And there's so many lessons. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So we've got a couple plants up here that we don't like, thistles and poison ivy, and there's others we could look at. And we have all these other plants that are good plants, and they produce good fruit. So now how do we apply this to our lives? What are some things that we can sow or plant in our lives to produce good fruit? And what are some things we can sow that produce bad fruit? We're just going to start making a list on the board of some of these things. Do you have any ideas? And you can just talk about anything you think about that would be a fruit, something you do or something you say or something like that, and then we'll talk about what the fruit of it is. Any ideas for anything? How do we sow in our lives? How do we plant things? Let's have some ideas. We plant seeds, that's correct, but what kind of seeds? What are things that we do, think, say that become seeds. Love, that's correct. So what is something you could do or say that would be loving? Thank you. That is perfect. Say thank you. Now, so you say thank you. What's the fruit of saying thank you? What comes from that? What? You're welcome. Somebody says you're welcome. That's correct. Why do they say you're welcome? Do they usually frown at you when they say you're welcome? How do people respond when you say thank you and they say you're welcome? They usually have a big smile, right? It makes them feel green beans. So instead of saying thank you, green beans. Why do I have to eat green beans again? Do you see? And what comes from that? So you're selfish and you're grumpy instead of saying thank you. Sadness. That's exactly right. You're sad. Mama's sad. So I'm just going to put up here selfish and rude. And that equals sadness. Do you see it, children? You ignore strangers. You don't invite them in. Somebody maybe needs a meal. And instead of seeing that need and inviting them to come to your house, you just ignore them. You're too busy, don't have time, or you don't care. And so, what's the result of that? It leaves them with their need, right? Their need doesn't get met. They didn't get to experience the kindness that you otherwise would have given. The love didn't come out of their hearts. And they're probably also going to feel sad too, right? Instead of giving stuff, you be selfish and you take it and keep it for yourself. If a child comes over to your house and you have a nice toy and they'd like to play with it, and instead of giving it to them and sharing it with them, you say, you know what, I'm going to hide that because I don't want them to mess it up. Any of you ever felt that way? I don't want them to mess it up. Now, what happens? What's the result of that? Are you happy? No. You're not happy. All afternoon or evening, you're worried about what if they find it. You can't enjoy it. And they sure didn't get the joy of you sharing it with them, did they? So we've got thistles and we've got poison ivy. And nobody wants to touch them. Nobody wants to touch them. And those things find ways to grow. You know, I had to look for a while for that thistle yesterday because I spent many hours a few weeks ago trying to get rid of all the thistles around our place. Because if one thistle grows up and shortly, and this one here, it fell all over. But when I got it, it was nice and tall like that. And it's developing up here. You can see it's developing this little seed head. Have any of you ever seen what seed heads look like for a thistle? You girls did. You know what it looks like? What does it look like? Yeah, a ball. And what happens to the ball as it ripens, as the flower comes and it ripens? What happens to the ball? Have you ever seen that? A thistle, yes, but there is like, I don't know, 10,000 little tiny seeds in that little thistle head. And every one of them has a set of wings. They all grow like feathers. And so this thing opens up and the sun shines on it and it dries up, and after a while the wind blows and that little thistle, just that one little thistle plant, all of a sudden those things start coming off of it and thistle seeds start blowing everywhere. And where you had one thistle, you'll now have 100. And your job is very difficult to get rid of 100. It's much easier to get rid of one. So this is how these bad things are in our lives. When we sow bad fruit, we're going to reap bad things. Okay, now, Jesus said that do men gather figs of thorns grapes of thorns or figs of thistles, I think is what it is. I don't have figs and grapes up here, but I have potatoes. Do men get potatoes from a thistle plant? No. Do men gather tomatoes from a poison ivy plant? All right, and you know what Jesus said after that? By their fruits ye shall know them. Do you remember last week, James had the ladder up here, And he talked about climbing the ladder, starting your day right. And if you get to the second rung and you didn't start things right, and it crashes to the ground, right? If you get up early in the morning and you're cheerful and happy and you say thank you, things go better for you, right? So there's two ways to look at this. This is why I say, children, this is the most important lesson you can ever learn. You can decide what you want, how you want your lives to come out. And God made the rules. When you learn His rules and you live by His rules and you sow good fruit, you will experience the results of following His rules. When you live selfishly and you do things your way, you're going to experience the results of living selfishly. Okay? That's the lesson that I want you to learn. And I think my time is up, so we're going to just stop there. Let's sing the first part of that song again. You remember the middle song, and maybe sometime we can practice the whole thing better and learn it better. It's a song that's really worth learning. But we'll sing the first part since we know that one fairly well. Okay, can you all help us now since we sang it the first time? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can you remember that? Okay. As you go home today, you remember that what I sow is what I reap. And if I want good fruit, I have to sow good things. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for each one of these precious lives, these children that are learning your rules for life. Thank you for the potential that they hold. And I just pray that this simple lesson this morning would go deep in their hearts and that they would always remember it for as long as they live. Help them to learn to sow good things. Help them to learn to make right choices. Help them to seek to understand how you want them to live so that they can experience the blessings that only you can give in their lives. I commit them to you today and thank you for this time together and ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, children. You may all go back to your parents.
Good morning, children. That's good. It's so nice to see all your smiling faces this morning. I think you're all excited about children's lesson. I know I am. Do you mind if I sit down with you? All right. So what if I came to children's lesson this morning and I just started telling you of a dream I had last night and a couple of dreams maybe I had, and then I'd move on to tell you how, because I had this dream, I think we should start doing this and that. And suppose I dreamed the preacher got on a stepladder to preach. And then I would come to church and try to tell the preacher that I had this dream last night. I think that's supposed to mean that he's supposed to preach from a stepladder. What would you think of that? You probably wouldn't know what to think, would you? Probably some wiser brother in the back would come up and ask me to sit down, maybe. So I didn't have any dreams last night that I remembered this morning. And I actually very rarely dream that I remember the dream. And I don't really care. I feel like I have enough humor in my life without having to have dreams to add to it. So I did not come to talk about a dream I had or ask you about a dream you had, but I'm going to talk about dreams some. I have a scripture verse that mentions dreams. And it also talks about the Word of God. And I have a children's lesson here. I have an object lesson. We'll get to that a little later. Let's just get it over here. And I'm going to tape this verse up. Let's see if I have some tape we can use. And I'm going to tell you a couple stories. And before we get to the stories, we want to talk about this verse a little bit. There was a prophet in olden days that was a faithful prophet, but there were a lot of other prophets in his time that were not faithful. And there was a problem There were too many prophets, too many preachers that were just talking about dreams. And God had something to say about that. All right, we got it taped up. Most of you can see that. I think you can read it. It says in Jeremiah 23:28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. See, it's not wrong to tell our dreams. It's not always wrong to think about our dreams. Sometimes God can speak through dreams. He has in the Bible. But he goes on to say, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And then he says, what is the chaff to the wheat? So our dreams are like chaff, and the word of God is like wheat. So I want to talk about chaff and wheat and what the difference is. Here I have a bag of chaff. Later on, I'll give you an opportunity to taste this chaff if you'd like. We can give you a sample of it and you can taste it. And then we have some grain here. It's not wheat, but it looks a lot like wheat. And here is some bread that somebody took some wheat and made bread. And it's not just bread, it's swirl bread. So, you children can feel very blessed that you can come to church and you get children's lessons Sunday after Sunday, not about dreams somebody had, but about the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you about a story. When I was about, who here is about 5 years old? Raise your hand if you're five. Anybody here 5 years old? At least one. Okay, how about six? 6 years old. All right, a few more. Good. When I was about your age, in the summertime, about the time we're in now, we had a threshing day at my dad's farm. See, when I was small, we grew up on a farm, and my uncle had the next farm over, and another uncle had another farm neighboring to us, and we all came together to do the threshing of the wheat and oats, barley sometimes. Those were always big days. My uncle came with his tractor and his threshing machine. He would share it with his brothers, and we would all come together and do the threshing. And he would come with his John Deere tractor. It was an old hit-and-miss engine. Do you remember being at the homeschool thing last fall with a whole bunch of hit-and-miss engines? You boys remember that? Pop, 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 pop. It was so fun to listen to, weren't they? My uncle had a tractor like that, and we would thresh wheat with that. And when that tractor was working hard, it would pop away, and when it was working less hard, it would just kind of hum along, and that was so fun to listen to. I can still just hear it. But my uncles and my brothers and cousins were out there. They were threshing away. And this threshing machine was run by a big belt from the tractor down off the barn hill. And there's a whole bunch of little belts on that threshing machine. And those belts would whir and hum. And everything was flying around and just working just the way it should. And I just, in my mind, I was so fascinated with this thing. And I just knew that everybody knew what they were doing. I felt so safe. I had no worries. And all of a sudden, I noticed something. I was standing there beside my brother. And I looked up on the threshing machine. And there's a bunch of chaff laying around here and there and flying around. And at that one wheel, I noticed there was a bunch of sparks. A whole bunch of sparks flying around. And I was kind of surprised. I thought, it doesn't seem like sparks should be in the barn. And there's a bunch of chaff around. It doesn't seem like that's a good situation. But I thought, well, everybody knows what they're doing. But then I thought, well, maybe I should say something. So I tapped my brother and pointed up there. Look at that. Is that all right? And you should have seen his face. He said, no, that's not all right. He ran over and shut the tractor off and everything shut down. And they came back and cleaned all the chaff away and looked at everything and probably greased it up or something. I'm not sure why the sparks were flying. But because there was a lot of chaff around, It was a very dangerous situation. It could have started burning very quickly. So chaff, one of the things about chaff is it burns easily, very easily. I'll tell you another story. Happened a lot more recently. I was working on a farm doing our thing there, and there were electricians that came in and took a big electric line down so we could do our thing, and after we were done, they put it back up. They were good electricians. They knew what they were doing. They were working with a live wire, and somehow in their working, a spark, because the wire was live, a spark got away, just a little spark, up on top of the barn roof, and that spark found its way in between the metal, down underneath, where again there's a lot of chaff. The barn was big. There's a big barn like this and a smaller piece out front towards you. And all the way out on the front of the barn on that small piece is where they were working at. And this spark got underneath the roof. And because of the hot, dry weather and the fans blowing up through there to keep the cows cool, that fire took off like something I've never seen. Within a couple minutes, it had traveled up through, so all that chaff was there, and it just jumped from one pile to the next, and up through the main barn. Didn't take more than a couple minutes, and the whole barn was up in flames. And the farmer was running around and getting his cows out and barely had time to do it. And I watched that whole barn burn down right in front of my eyes. And I learned to respect sparks that day, especially if there's chaff around, if there's things that can burn easily. We need to be very, very, very careful with sparks, with fire. So those two lessons tell you how chaff can burn so easily and what can happen. It can do a lot of damage. What else can chaff do? Well, I told you I'd give you a sample of this. Who wants to come up and eat some chaff? Even if you would, I'd probably tell you, I'd just wait on the bread. I don't think that chaff is very good at all. It would not feed you. It would not do you any good. Chaff is no good for eating. In fact, if I, as a little boy, would have made a bargain with my dad to keep all the chaff and he can keep all the straw and the wheat, he would have been so happy. Because the cleaner the wheat, the better. The cleaner the straw, the better. So chaff really is just a nuisance. It's hard to handle. It's dusty and dirty. What can you do with chaff? What good is chaff? Not much at all. Not much at all. You can throw it down to the cows and they can stomp on it and it dries up some manure. It might do a little bit, but sure not much. And God is saying, our dreams are like chaff. They're not really good for much at all. We shouldn't bank our lives on our dreams. See, if we have dreams, we might want to decide what our dreams would mean. And guess what? I think if we decide what dreams mean for us, we would probably just kind of decide they mean whatever we want them to mean, right? If I want something to happen, I'll try to find a dream that would tell me that should happen and that I should do it, what I want to do. So really, dreams can be anything that we want to do. Just ideas, whatever I want to do, that can be like dreams are. So God tells us that we should go after the wheat and not after whatever we want. So imagine trying to live on this for a little while. Even if you would put some sugar in and maybe some food coloring and make it look nice, it might look ever so attractive. And I might be able to live on it for a little while. But after a while, I would feel so miserable and so weak, I would be very happy to go back to eating wheat. That's the way life is. If we go after doing whatever I want to do and whatever you want to do rather than what God says, pretty soon we're going to have to pay for it. And it's not going to be good. God wants what's good for you, children. And He wants what's good for me, He loves us all very much. That's why he gives us the word, so we can follow it. I want to give you another little illustration here. Just how much does chaff weigh? Not very much at all. I have a little bag here. It's bigger than this bag. I could have brought a big feed sack of it, but that's all I brought. If you put the wheat on that scale, it just goes right down. It's so much heavier. You can put it all the way over here, just keep going, and it's still just so much heavier. It tips the scale down way, way before the chaff does. Not much weight there. Again, our dreams and whatever we want to do, it just doesn't mean much. God's word, this means a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. You can bank your life on it. We'll put that on there. Just think about how much that pushes the scale down. I have to push on here really, really hard. So, you think you can remember that? I hope you can. Just remember, the things we want to do, our dreams, our ideas, we need to be able to let God's word be first. Let this be first, and God will take care of everything for us. And then I am going to give you all a piece of this bread. The first ingredient in this bread is wheat. It's not chaff. They didn't put a bit of chaff in here, so you don't have to be scared of the bread. It's good bread made with wheat. So with that, let's pray, and I'll have a little piece of bread. If you'd like, if you don't want to, that's fine. And when you reach in to get it, just try to not touch more than the one you get, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless these dear children. Thank you very much for them. Would you keep them in your tender care and stir in their hearts a love for your word and an acceptance of it and an embracing of it. Father, help us as a church to nurture these dear ones, bring them up in the fear of God. Bless them with the remembrance of this message, and may your word have its way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just wait a little bit. I'll pass this along, and you can have a little piece if you'd like. A piece for each one. It is cinnamon sorrel bread made with wheat. And you can eat it right away. You are also welcome. I hope you enjoy it. You are welcome. You are welcome. All right, children. God bless you. You can go back to your parents.
Well, good morning, children. I'm pretty excited about the time we're going to get to spend in northern Pennsylvania soon, aren't you? There's something about having fun. Time seems to go, what? Yes? Faster? Slow? When you're having fun? It's usually the other way for me. When you have a project you need to do, maybe your school and stuff, sometimes time seems to go slow. I have found out that when I fast, sometimes time goes slower, it seems like. The day seems to drag out along. And so anyways, this morning I'm very, very grateful to be here. Grateful to see you children again. My last children's lesson was mostly to a camera, and that was no fun. So I'm really glad to see these smiling faces and that you can be up here and you can interact with the children's lesson. So I was supposed to have children's lesson last Sunday, and I was not here. Thankfully, Ephraim took over for me. But I had pretty much planned out my children's lesson then already. And I was going to have an object lesson. But instead of being here, I was at a funeral. And for some reason, when I tried to go back to that children's lesson, I just couldn't get excited about it. So I decided, well, why don't I share the things I'm thinking about, the things that were on my heart the most at the time. And so I'm going to share with you this morning some about the funeral I went to. And I'm not here to scare you. There's something about death that's not necessarily fun to talk about. It's a sad time, but it's a real time. Every one of us will die someday. And so I think it's just okay to talk about it, because it is something real. And so I would like to talk about this funeral that I went to. I didn't know this young man, Titus, but I knew his family and his older siblings. He has an older brother that's almost exactly my age, and we spent quite a bit of time together in our early 20s. I helped them build in their community back when they first started in the wintertime when we weren't busy on our farms. I even stayed with this family for a couple weeks. So I had a lot of fond memories. My next older brother married Titus's sister. So there were several ways that I knew them. Can you guys scoot that way a little bit? They're a little tight over here. Can you go over just a little bit? Thank you. You have enough room now? Good. So last Thursday, my sister sent me a message and asked me if I knew that this Titus Kaufman was killed in a car buggy accident. And I hadn't heard about it before, but and it even took me a little bit to know who the person was, because he would have just been, I don't know, maybe about 5 years old back when I was when I had stayed with the Kaufman family. And all I remembered of him was this little jolly boy. And he was a little bit pudgy, but so energetic. He was just a delight to be around. So that was my memory of Titus. But they were headed to a wedding on Wednesday night. There was going to be they were going from one community to the next, about 12 miles apart. Him and another young man were headed to a wedding, which was supposed to happen on Thursday. So this would have been Wednesday night. And a buggy or a car came up from behind. A 17-year-old boy was driving the car, was speeding, said he never saw him. It was on a straight run. There was no reason for him not to have seen him. The sun wasn't in his eyes. Just one of those, I don't know if you could call it a freak accident or who knows. It just simply was his time, I guess. 25 years old. So we never know how much time we have, do we? Even though we have all the same amount of time in a day, no matter the status or who we are, we don't know how many years and how many days we have. Titus, the reason I get to relate this story in a positive way is because Titus was a very intentional young man. And at a young age, he decided, he committed in his heart to follow the Lord and to take advice. Now, he was a very, very intelligent young man in the sense of at a very young age, at 18 already, he was assisting the local school teacher. And from 19 till the day of his death, he was a school teacher. And his school succeeded all the local schools. He was just a very, very bright young man, and everybody loved him. I found that out as soon as I got there. So, even though he had lots of gifts, was a really good singer, taught music, he was very approachable, very humble, and that was one of the things that was also brought about his life, that he had committed that if somebody would come to him, that he would listen. And that he would, you know, to the best of his knowledge, he would take that advice. So in some ways, he was beyond his age. And so in many ways, it was a tremendous blessing to just see that God chose to take this young man, because the other young man that was with him was a very troubled young man. In fact, he was living with the Kaufmans. He's a relative of theirs from Iowa. And because he had so many needs in his life, they had asked if the Kaufmans would take him in. So God spared his life. But Titus died from this accident. So I'm going to be looking for a word as I tell you this story. I want you to try to figure out the word that I would like you to get a lesson from. So you, towards the last, I'm going to ask you if you can figure out which word describes Titus' decision-making to where he prospered as a young man and people kept saying positive things about his life at his funeral, at his death. Because it could have easily been the opposite. What if he would have remained alive and the other young man would have been killed? So it makes a big decision. It makes a big difference what decisions we make in life. Titus was from a big family. One of his brothers stated to me that it seemed like Titus had all the gifts of their family in one. Now, they have some unique gifts. They have some very artistic. I know the mother's really good at paintings. And they have several that are really good at writing poems. And it seems like some of them were real math whiz. And it just, in the family, there was multiple ones of them that just had unique gifts that really stood out, whether it was singing. And so I thought it was funny when Ernest was, he's the one that's my age and talks a lot. He's the one that told me that just seemed like Titus had all his siblings' gifts in one package. And I could tell you that, you know, it was sort of a fun jealousy there, but couldn't help but tell me. But he told me that, you know, in the midst of all the good things, he told me that, you know, he was a young man with struggles too. But he chose not to internalize. He would talk about it. He had those that he would talk to too. So I don't want you to think that he was this perfect young man, but he made choices in his life, early in his life, that started molding him who he became. And this family, I knew them well enough that, you know, they were just like most families. There was internal struggles. And so much so that his oldest brother made some very negative choices. He Oh, I think it was in his early 20s. This goes back quite a ways. Started resenting people telling him, you know, what he should do and what he shouldn't do. And it just slowly got worse and worse. The resentment and the bitterness that built up. Thought people didn't understand him. And he started looking outside of the community for help. He resented some of his other siblings that ran a big business, and he thought that was just too carnal. And anyways, there was a number of things there that slowly just built a wall between him and his parents and the church there, and eventually he left. I hadn't seen him in probably at least 15, maybe more years. And here he was at the funeral. He's probably close to 50 now. Never got married. Very, very miserable man. And I just couldn't help but see the contrast. They grew up in the same family. They had the same opportunities. One made choices that went a very negative way, or it formed him into a very negative person where he couldn't appreciate the same parents that Titus had. They were brothers. So choices is a big deal, children. The choices you make, the way you feel towards your siblings, your parents, those that even ask you to do the simplest things, how do you react? Those choices are forming you into a person. And that person is going to take on personalities. Who likes a person that doesn't like to be told? Do you like talking to a sibling or somebody try to do something, but oh no, they want to do it their way. They immediately want to try to take over. Does anybody like being in that, around that kind of person? No, some of us are more natural that way, I know. But still, it's very important that we make other people feel wanted. We take time for others. And we choose to allow other people to speak into our lives. Titus was the kind of person that he noticed when there was in the school, when somebody was behind or anything like that, he helped them. He would do everything he could to help them succeed. And so the children really, really loved him. He noticed things that others wouldn't, let's just put it that way, or at least wouldn't do something even if they noticed. I have a nephew there. My next older brother lived in the community where he taught school. And his oldest son, at a very young age, unusually young, just became really rebellious, wouldn't listen to his parents. So eventually, they asked my older brother whether they would take him in, just get him away from the family for a while, see if he wouldn't do better. And sure enough, with a couple months, I mean, I think he was only about 12 years old. I think he realized that homes were closer to the same than he thought, that maybe his parents weren't that bad. And so he came back home, and to this day, he's not a rebel, but he still hasn't given his heart to the Lord. And the reason I'm saying this is Titus did everything he could to encourage him. He knew he liked hunting, so he would take him hunting. He would notice when others were hurting. A very unique gift. But the thing that just over and over struck me is the choices that we make at a young age is how they form us into who we are now, who we become. So think about that. When you're having a hard time, you don't like school, whatever it is, this can be very, very practical. Just remember, if you're going to complain, if you're going to come up with all kinds of excuses why you don't want to do this, or why it's too hard, all those excuses, all those complaints, they're making you into a person. And it might turn you into a person that you don't even like yourself. Because other people that are like yourself, they're no fun. This starts very early in your lives. And you can choose who you want to become. Why don't we think about this morning? Let's bring it home. How did you wake up this morning? Were you a happy person to wake up? Did you thank your mom for helping you get dressed, your dad, whoever it was? Were you a grouch? It's really easy to be a grouch in the morning, isn't it? Because the feelings, things don't feel very good. But you know what? Even that is forming you. It's forming a personality. You can choose to be lazy. You can choose to not be thankful, not be grateful. I tell you, it really does something to your mom and dad if you thank them. After a meal, if you thank them for little things they do, it makes life much easier. Because it's not fun to constantly be doing things for children that are complaining and griping and they don't want to get up. You can almost drag them out. Every day you choose whether you're going to be selfish and live for yourself or whether you're going to be a blessing. Does anybody know yet what word I'm looking for? Yes. Choices, yes. I figured you would guess that one. Choices are making you into a person. Either people are going to want to be around you. You're a blessing. People love to be around you. Or it's the other way around. And I was really, really blessed to be at this funeral and hear all the positive things about this young man who had chose at a young age to allow people into his life and to be shaped by positive choices in his life. At the graveside, seeing, I don't know how many of you are used to this, but in the Amish and the more conservative circles, it's an honor to bury the person, the family member or whoever it is. And so it's an honorable thing to be at the graveside and help fill in the grave. And here were these students standing around there taking their turns. Just seeing the starkness of death and how you can't change things after you're gone. This is what came to me. All I will be remembered by after death is the choices that I made while I was alive. Why don't we pray? Father, thank you for each one of these children. I pray that you would give them the ability to make positive choices and help them, Lord, to understand at a young age that they can influence others and that they can change lives, other people's lives, by examples. I pray that you would inspire their hearts, Lord, just like you have others, by the life of Titus, and ultimately what you've done in his life. So we want to honor you, Lord, today, because you are the gift. You're the giver of all good gifts, and we thank you for that. Bless these children. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, children, you can go back to your seats.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.